Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our epistle text for today, St. Paul is giving a final exhortation. Finally, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I want you to notice that when it says, in the Lord and in the power of his might, that this is baptismal language. All right? In holy baptism, you were joined to Christ. You were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live in newness of life. And so this in language, to be in Christ, to be in the power of his might, speaks about what he graciously did for us when we were baptized, and what he has continued in us through the ministry of the word and sacrament all these years, strengthening that bond of union and fellowship that we have in Christ, first given to us in our baptism and sustained in us by the word and sacrament all throughout our life. We breathe an atmosphere of God's grace and mercy. We live in a new situation, right? We are no longer sinners under the condemnation of the law, but we are sinners who are saved by grace through faith in Christ. And he is with us, and we are in him every day by his grace and mercy. Now, Paul says here, be strong in him and in the power of his might. Right? We need to be strong. But spiritual strength is not in us by nature. We are devoid of spiritual strength. Left to ourselves, we are dead in sin and can do nothing toward God. This is the truth as the scripture teaches it. So we are to be strong, but we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He repeats himself by saying this, put on, and that again, here, baptism language. When you were baptized, you were clothed with Christ's righteousness. You are clothed with the grace and mercy of God. You are clothed with salvation and righteousness, you see? This is baptismal language, but it is the kind of baptismal life that is nurtured and continues throughout our walk in this life until we come into the kingdom of glory. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All right? That word wiles always tickles me. Right? All the modern translations of the Bible say something much more serious, like schemes. But the old King James says the wiles of the devil. I always think of Wile E. Coyote, right? The wiles of the devil. Interesting, only because you'll recognize this word. The Greek word behind that is methodias. Methodias, where we get the word method from, and Methodists, right? Schemes, tricks, all right? Scams, if you will, of the devil. So why is Paul telling us we need to be strong? Because We are called to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? Well, chiefly, the devil, number one, is a liar and the father of it. So wile number one is that he seeks to deceive us with his lies and his counterfeit forms of Christianity. That's wile number one. Wile number two is he tries to tempt us into sin. He tries to tempt us into misbelief and other great shame and vice. The third wile that the devil has is he tries to undermine our confidence in God's grace and love. He endeavors to accuse us and to point out our sins and our weaknesses so that we will lose heart and begin to despair of God's help. And in all these things, what the devil seeks is our destruction, right? He is seeking to destroy us by tempting us, by deceiving us, and by accusing us. And so Paul says, so you got to put on the whole armor of God. And what Paul is describing, he's using the picture of a Roman soldier here and a Roman soldier's clothing, right? And he spiritualizes this and he says that you Christians, you are soldiers of the cross. And therefore you must put on the panoplia, the whole armor of God. And what he's describing to us is the very things that have been given to us in our baptism and that are strengthened in us by means of word and sacrament throughout our life. And he wants us to understand what they are so that we can take our place on the field of battle and withstand the wiles of the devil. So he goes on and he says, for our struggle is not with flesh and blood. In other words, the real problem in our life is not the people who annoy us, all right? The people who withstand us, the people who trouble us. That's not the real problem. Standing behind the course of human events are two things, good and bad. First is the divine providence of God. Despite all appearances to the contrary, God is governing all things, and he is doing so in the interests of his holy church. What he permits for the good of the church. What he prevents for the good of the church. God, in his providence, rules all things. That's a good thing. Paul's talking about something else here. He says, our struggle is not with flesh and blood. It's not people that are the problem, really. I mean, yes, people are the problem, right? We're sinners. We do bad things, right? But ultimately speaking, behind the course of human events, there is a world of demonic activity, and that demonic activity is busy at work seeking to destroy your faith and everyone else's faith, to destroy creation and to destroy the works of God. For this cause, St. John says, Christ came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so the presence of Christ in his church, as the church preaches the word in the world, this presence of Christ is at work destroying the works of the devil. And so he says, we wrestle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's talking about demonic activity behind the scenes in the course of human events. In your life, in my life, in the government's life, in every aspect of life, there are demons seeking to destroy the works of God, and Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. So you shouldn't be surprised if the devil is particularly annoyed with you, because you have believed, taught, and confessed the Christian faith in its purest form, the form of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. All right, so let's move on. He says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. So God has this wonderful armor that he puts at your disposal. All right? And this armor will make you able to withstand, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, he's talking about you being defended by God from the attack of the devil. The devil is seeking a wormhole into you, all right? And God has these weapons of defense by which you are protected from the devil getting at you and getting to you. So you are able by this armor of God to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So here we are. We are on the battlefield. In our hymnal, there's a rather well-known hymn. I don't know, you may have heard it once or twice. It says, with might of ours can naught be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. All right? That is what Paul is talking about. We are, not of our own choosing, on a battlefield. And Jesus is fighting and winning. And we stand with him. And as we stand with him, we withstand against the attacks of the devil by, number one, having your loins girt about with truth. That is, having the belt of truth around your waist. You have God's word, which teaches you how to be saved, how to prosper in faith, and how to do and not do the things which the commandments teach. And so it is. We do not walk in darkness and in uncertainty. We have God's own inspired, infallible, inerrant word. And that word is like a belt that binds up everything in our uniform together and makes us able to serve without distraction. You know how it is when you're confused in your mind and you're unsure. You don't know what to do. But the truth of God's word, it is a beautiful, refreshing thing to know that you know what it is to be saved. You know the promises of God. You know the commandments of God, the prohibitions of God. You are enlightened by God's truth. And therefore, it's like you have a utility belt around your waist. And this truth keeps everything together so that you don't trip over your gown. I know something about that. All right, so that's the first thing. Then he says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. He's not saying to you that you need to be a more righteous person. All right? We all need that. He's talking about to trust not in yourself, but in the righteous one, Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in the beginning of the book of Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why is the gospel the power of God unto salvation? He goes on in the next verse, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God, which is from faith to faith. So you are righteous with the righteousness of God when you have faith in Jesus Christ. You have Christ's own righteousness imputed to you. And God therefore looks at you through the lens of Christ, and he sees you as a holy saint of God. And the one thing that matters is what God thinks about you. And in Christ and in the redemption that he has once and for all achieved for every sinner, God can look at those who believe in Christ and see not their sins, not their failings, not their weaknesses, but he can see Christ, the righteous one, shining upon them. And so we are righteous in Christ. And Christ's righteousness is impenetrable. You know, with our righteousness, the devil can come along and say, you did that because you wanted people to see you doing it and you wanted your credit to be thought to be a pious person. And we have to say oftentimes, there is that, right? But the devil cannot penetrate Christ's righteousness because it is utter and complete. And it is ours by faith through the promises of the gospel. So the breastplate of righteousness is impenetrable. God's word is the truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers wore kind of like the ancient world's version of combat boots. In other words, their feet were shod so that they could cover over rough ground. We often go over rough ground in this life. We have hard times, but we are ready to face them because we are assured that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it means, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you know that you are at peace with God through faith in Christ, you are able to face even tough times, even great cross-bearing. He goes on and he says, above all, taking the shield of the faith. The shield of the faith. And this is, again, baptismal language, all right? Roman soldiers had this shield that had a leather cover on it, and they would, before they went out into battle, they would soak this shield in water. And the shield would then be taken into battle and be wet. So if you were able to deflect a flaming arrow, when the arrow stuck in this shield, it would put the fire out, okay? And the flaming arrows would be of no avail. So he says, taking the shield of the faith, that is the doctrine of the Christian faith, the teachings of the Christian faith, or as we may say, the catechism. He means faith not here as my personal faith in Jesus, but he's talking about faith as the objective content that I believe in, All right? That's what he's talking about, the shield of the faith. You have been brought into the faith. You have been baptized, you see. And you have a deposit of knowledge and of truth that you believe, teach, and confess, like we in the Lutheran Church do with our catechism. And therefore, we have this objective truth which puts out the fiery darts of the wicked one. That is, it delivers us in time of temptation and trial. Then he mentions the helmet of salvation. How often the devil makes us feel insecure so that we say, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe it's not really as the Bible says. Maybe, you know, I'm not one of those who is worthy to be blessed by God. You know, God answers good people's prayers, but he doesn't really answer my prayer. You know how we get? We get self-pitying, and we begin to think of the great promises of God as if they apply to that guy over there, but not to me. And we get insecure. The helmet of salvation is the Christian's ability to say, I'm going to heaven. If there's one thing true about me, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ my Lord. And so we stand with this helmet of salvation that protects us against the insecurities and the vulnerabilities that the devil wants to intrude into our life by our vacillating natures. And then finally, he speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now notice, up until this point, all of the weapons are defensive, right? They are all weapons of protection against an onslaught. But we have one weapon of offense, and that is the Word of God. And we wield that Word when we believe, teach, and confess the truth of the Christian faith. When we speak the words of law and gospel to our family and our friends, to those whom we love, when we testify to the Christian faith in our dealings with our neighbors, and when we stand up for the truth instead of vacillating with the world in its evil and wickedness, we stand with the Word of God. And through that Word of God, which the church wields, sinners are converted and saved and given everlasting life, and the mouth of the gainsayers is put to silence. Therefore, we gladly stand on the battlefield with Jesus, fully protected, with only one thing to fight back with, and that is the Word of God, the Word by which the church conquers. It is the word of the truth that saves every soul who hears and believes it. And it is the word that silences those. Think of all those smart-mouthed people who think that they're too smart to believe in Jesus and what they are going to be looking like on the day of judgment. My goodness, will they ever be shocked when the guy they thought was our little invisible friend in the sky, right, is really the King and Judge of all things. So take heart, be strong. You have the armor of God. Wield it and be strengthened in your knowledge of what it is and what it does for you. Because here the Lord, through St. Paul's final exhortation, tells us that in the Lord, we are strong. In the Lord's might and power, we have might and power. And therefore, we will withstand in the evil day. And when all is said and done, we will remain standing. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.